Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Lebanon's government has resigned after days of protests following 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate stored unsafely in its capital Beirut's port exploded last week and devastating parts of the city. Prime Minister Hassan Diab said on Monday during his resignation, his government had gone to great lengths to lay out a roadmap to save the country. But he said corruption in Lebanon was bigger than the state itself, and a very thick and thorny wall separates us from change. A wall fortified by a class that is resorting to all dirty methods in order to resist and preserve its gains. But as producer Connell reports, any change in Lebanon would be difficult because of sectarian divisions between Christians, Sunni and Shia Muslims.
So many people who've been paying attention to the news recently will have heard about the explosions that went off in the Lebanese capital of Beirut. Many will have seen the footage of almost 3,000 tons of ammonium nitrate exploding in a dramatic red mushroom cloud over the city centre on August the 4th. This explosion came at exactly the wrong time for Lebanon. The country's been embroiled in a political crisis with protests erupting as early as the end of last year. The protests were centred on the endemic corruption and dysfunction that exists in the Lebanese government. Many Lebanese protesters had voiced anger at a system whereby a small elite were siphoning money away from much-needed public services, while several economic crises in the nation caused citizens to lose their life savings, their homes, and suffer food shortages. The explosion finally became symbolic of this festering problem among the Lebanese leadership, and especially so the destroyed grain silos next to the explosion centre, which to the Lebanese proved a chilling metaphor for the lack of food in the country. But how did it all get here? Well, it's all down to institutionalised sectarianism. What is sectarianism, you might ask? We often think of sectarianism to be discrimination, bigotry, or segregation against different sects within a religion. But it can also come to define bigotry against a religion itself, or bigotry between different religions within a family of religions, like the Abrahamic family of religions. So, for example, anti-Semitism could be considered a form of sectarianism. In Lebanon, it's a mix of the two. Three main groups with centuries-long grudges and conflicts between one another. They are the Sunni Muslims, the Shiite Muslims, and the Christians. In terms of geographical spread, Christians tend to inhabit the coastline and make up about 40% of the population. Muslims make up about 54% of the population, with a roughly even split between the two sects, Sunni and Shiite, and they mostly inhabit the interior of the country near the Lebanese-Syrian border. Under French colonial rule, the Christians were favoured, and that position of privilege largely exists today. Now, the sectarian system is this. The president has to be a Christian, the prime minister has to be a Sunni, and the speaker of the house has to be a Shiite. All these political groups are made up of large, well-to-do families that have a client-patron relationship with their wealthy constituents, meaning endemic corruption. The whole system was a band-aid solution created at the end of the bloody civil war that lasted from 1975 to 1990 in Lebanon, the one that culminated in a horrifying siege of Beirut in the early 80s, which became one of the signature moments in world news of the decade. The war was essentially a fight between Muslim forces who wanted Islamic rule, backed by the PLO, and the Christian-dominated state who wanted secular pro-Western democracy. The conflict, though, eventually morphed into a proxy war. In the midst of the war, there was an Israeli invasion, several Syrian invasions, a US intervention, and in 1991, peace was achieved, and gradually, foreign troops left in 2005. In short, Lebanon's government has just resigned in full. There are protests on the street, there are people facing huge insecurity, and a political culture that is made up of former civil war figures defined by tribal sectarian divisions. And on top of that, Saudi Arabia and Iran have both been fighting a sort of cold proxy war within Lebanon between the two Muslim factions as part of their wider Middle East proxy war. No one knows where this could end up, but Lebanon is fragile, and it'll be the job of protesters to rebuild a functioning state, that doesn't descend once again into bloody conflict.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.